¿Qué tal? Welcome back, everybody. This is Morena Tan Mala. You're listening to Mujer No Te Rajes. I hope y'all have had a short week. Finally, it's coming to an end, and I'd like to kick off this new weekend with un tema muy sabroso, algo polémico. We're going to be talking about the sex talk in the Latinx household. Ave María Purísima, ¿verdad? It's a taboo subject, we can say, but it's one that must be talked about. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen very much. Actually, it's sort of obsolete in a lot of households. And it's something that has affected our community for a long time because of the miseducation or the unawareness. So many people have contracted STDs, ended up in teen pregnancies, and so many other situations, awful situations that women have found themselves in that really were avoidable. Some. And the thing is that these stigmas start from a really, really young age, right? This whole idea that we are not allowed to talk about our sexuality. And that means any expression of one sex, right? Whether it's the way that we behave with our partners, the way that we view ourselves, the way that we view our anatomy. The strangest thing to me is the way that we view, for the women, our menstruation. And I've been able to break this up into three different conversations that should be taking place. The conversation about our menstruation, the conversation about our autonomy, the independence of ourselves, basically understanding that we are our sole proprietors, right? And also sexuality with a partner. All of these would be great to have been discussed, you know, prior to being an adult. And so I want to break it down in a manner that we can hopefully open up the conversation with our family. If you're a mom that you will, you know, one day have with your kids, later with your teenagers perhaps, and then with even your kids as adults, that we can have with our siblings, with our friends. Because the thing is that it doesn't have to be this super taboo and shameful conversation, right? It's the natural thing. Everything about our body is natural. I mean, if it happens naturally, then I consider that natural as much as we've placed stigmas on it and made it something viewed as shameful or taboo. So the first thing is our coming of age experiences, right? The moment that we begin to question our physical anatomy. And it starts really young. We're usually like, you know, maybe 4 or 5. We're asking our whys, our porqués, and we begin to realize, hey, I'm a little bit different from the male anatomy. I'm a little bit different in this way or in that way. Why am I different? You know, and for some of us, the question is addressed in that moment. And for others, it's not addressed at all, really. It's just a vague answer, like, because you're a boy or because you're a girl, but we don't understand really what that means. Really, when kids become curious, it's a really good opportunity to have these conversations if you don't know how to open them up. I feel a lot of parents are really scared to bring the conversation up, for one, because they are shy. They don't know how to have this conversation with you. It's really uncomfortable with them because they're afraid of their own sexuality as well. They've been taught to be very reserved with that. And that's fine. You can be reserved. You don't have to go into detail about these things, but it should be a conversation that we should be having, because the thing is, sexuality isn't something that is dirty. It's not a bad word. It's part of bringing new life into this world. It's part of life in general. So when we discuss for women, the first real conversation that we should be having with our parents or with whoever we go to for these questions is menstruation, right? And all around you, we should be telling our girls that our menstruations, despite what society is telling us, they are not dirty. They are not something to be ashamed of. Our menstruation is a sacred ritual of our body renewing itself. It is preparing itself for the gift of life. We need to know this from the moment that we can reason, that we can understand, that we become curious about life. We need to be taught what the difference is. If we teach women the weight and the depth of our birthright to bring new life into this world, then women, our young women, will understand that they have been gifted with a huge responsibility. They have been gifted with when, how, and with who they bring this new life into the world with. So many girls go out there experimenting because they're curious, because no one is telling them exactly what it is that we're capable of. And of course, we're sexual beings. We have all of these new feelings, physical feelings going on that we can't really understand. And if we just understood or learned more about what they mean, then we would be able to have a little bit more control over it. And you may think that's too much to expect of a young kid or a young girl, but you would be surprised at how much responsibility a young girl can show when she's just brought up with these values, you know, with the love and self-respect of herself and of this gift. The issue with teen pregnancy is not just, oh, you know, like this race is just a bunch of like horny people. No, like, I mean, there is a reason why they're correlated, right? Why we have such a high rate for teen pregnancies in our culture. It's that miseducation, the misinformation, the lack of knowledge of one's own sexuality. And here's the thing, in every household, Latino household, Latinx household, we are taught that a new life is sacred, that a baby is a blessing no matter what. So that is not the argument that I'm making. I'm not making an argument otherwise. My issue is the impact that this has on that young girl's life. What happens to her dreams? What happens to the way that she will struggle for so many years to come after making this decision? She will find herself many a times alone with very few support, very little support, having to bring this new life into the world where she can barely understand life herself. That's a very hard task, and it's not impossible. My own mother was just a kid when she had me. And I can tell you, she's an incredible being. And she is probably a wiser person because of the experiences that she's had. It's since such a young age. However, I can guarantee you that if she'd had the choice for life to be easier on her, for her to have found herself before having to teach a kid what life means, she would have taken that option. In the phase after teaching them about their menstruation, what that means, we must teach them that their bodies, as I mentioned before, belong to them. This is so important. So many girls are told from such a young age, they go from belonging to their parents to belonging to significant others. And we never reiterate that they belong to themselves. They belong to no one but themselves. And with that, we are restoring their God-given right to decide what happens to their bodies. If we just tell a girl, hey, you can say no. No one has the right to make you feel guilty, to make you feel committed, to make you feel responsible for somebody else's sexuality. That is not the case. We need to reiterate that they belong to themselves and it is fully up to them when and who they choose to have or explore their sexuality. There are so many girls who go around life feeling like they can't say no. And there is this feeling, this disassociating feeling, where you are outside of your body watching yourself do things that you really don't want to do, but you're doing anyway. And that feeling is one of the loneliest feelings, where you feel like you've betrayed yourself. And that is when it becomes something that's shameful. And it's not because of the sexual act. It's because you didn't honor yourself. You didn't honor your body by staying true to it. So, niñas, I'm here to tell you, this is your body, your responsibility. You need to understand the depth of this responsibility every time you put yourself in a situation where you're going to experience your sexuality with a partner. It is completely up to you who you choose to give it to, who you choose to be with, who you choose to allow in to you. And I'm not talking about just physically. Because as spiritual women, as women who are in touch with themselves, whenever you have a sexual encounter, as light as it may be, we are giving a part of ourselves to that person, a part of ourselves emotionally and spiritually. Make sure that this person is worthy of that energy. Make sure that if you think it's going to be something light, that you're prepared for it to be something light, where you're not going to give too much of yourself. This experience that you take on also has the responsibility of ensuring that you are safe, no matter who it is, no matter how much you trust them. At the end of the day, if you put yourself at risk for contracting an STD, for getting pregnant, as much as it is an act of two, you are in control of your body. It is your responsibility to ensure that you're safe. So use protection. I know several married couples who still use protection even in their wedlock, right? And I find that incredible. I think it's something that we should all practice. Now, should you choose not to, and you choose to trust this person, make sure that you're being responsible, even if you are using protection, that you take full responsibility for your body and go on those monthly checkups. Educate yourself on all the things that are happening with your body. If there is a change in your body and you don't understand it, go find out. En nuestros hogares latinos, we are so taboo about medication and about going and visiting the doctor. And I understand our customs, but I also understand the need to educate ourselves about our anatomy. As an educated people, we will be able to make more conscientious decisions. Therefore, it is vital that we are exercising that benefit. Having access to a doctor and going on yearly checkups, on checkups every so many months, it's important that we understand what is going on with our bodies, not just for our sexualities, but our overall health. If we do so, if we are more educated, if we understand our bodies, we will be able to help it better whenever we come upon an illness, whenever we come upon a change. So let's make it a practice for our parents. Let's push them to go to the doctors and you know, become informed. This whole idea that of them rather not knowing because they're afraid, it doesn't make sense. Because the sooner you know, the sooner that you can obtain treatment, that you can get help for any kind of illness, whether we're talking about STDs or we're talking about diabetes, you know, our health is important, is what I'm getting at. There is another thing to be talked about. Women, we, as much as we're responsible for our own health, as much as we're responsible for what happens to our bodies, we are also responsible for our pleasure. Right? And I'm not saying go please yourself. No, what I'm saying is we need to learn to communicate our needs. Honey, this experience, this sexual experience is not just for him or for your significant other, whatever sex they may be. This is for the both of you. And as much as you are there because you want to bring your partner pleasure, you need to communicate exactly how it is that you want to be pleased. If something is not working for you, you need to communicate that. It shouldn't be an embarrassing conversation to discuss with your partner what it is that they need to be doing in order for it to be more satisfying for you. Sex should be something that is pleasant, fun, light, and free, you know, where you feel comfortable to talk to your partner about what feels good, what doesn't feel good. Don't be ashamed, mija. This is your body, and you are there to get yours too. It's an equally rewarding experience. Should you be communicating correctly? It's not going to be easy to break the stigma. We will need to start off with small conversations. And it's really important that we understand that this doesn't mean that we're promoting for our young girls to be having sex. No. If you have religious beliefs that you want to hold on to, those traditions that you want to pass down, that's fine. There is nothing wrong with you wanting to carry on that tradition. But you need to understand that your child or your sister may not believe what you believe. They may very well act against everything that you're teaching them. And should they do that, you do not want them to go out there without the resources or the knowledge as to how to protect herself, how to take care of herself. It would be a shame for something to happen to these girls because we're not doing our job in educating them, teaching them how to take care of themselves, or for them to go a lifetime without knowing what an orgasm is because we didn't teach them how to communicate their needs. Because we couldn't even open up the conversation because it was too taboo. That's not okay. By all means, hold on to your traditions, but be conscientious of their future. be conscientious of the things that could happen without your consent. And perhaps on the contrary of what we believe, what our parents believe, you know, having that conversation and thinking that it's going to make us curious and make us go out there and want to try it. On the contrary, if you emphasize the weight of that responsibility, it may do the exact opposite. It may open up a desire for these girls who are natural nurturers who have made the decision that they want to be parents one day, because not all will, but those who choose to will want to hopefully grow and evolve and become the best possible versions of themselves before they choose to parent another being, before they choose to become mothers, right? Or she may simply choose to hold on because she understands her body is sacred and the act of having sex in itself is something that she doesn't want to just give out to anyone. She might want to wait for the right person. Whatever her motive may be, she may have better intentions than what we give these girls credit for. In the end, a lot of us want to honor ourselves. We want to honor our bodies. We just don't know how to start. So give them the tools to do that. So here we are. And como no ser rajada is going to mean starting the conversation with your sisters, with your daughters, even with your friends. This is a universal truth. There is no reason for it to be preserved or not talked about. Everybody should know this, including men. If we taught men about the sacredity of menstruation, about the sacredity of our sexuality, our female and feminine sexuality, perhaps we'd have more respectful men who value women and what we bring into this world, because women are the beacon of life. Food for thought. Thank you for listening. This is Morena Tan Mala signing off. You listen to Mujer No Te Rajes. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Hasta la siguiente vez.